Well, hey there, family. This is Adam, your GM for this season. Man, let me tell you, I don't know how it is where you guys are, but pollen season has hit the South real hard, and that has just wrecked my voice. And between that and some other scheduling things, it has been difficult to get stuff out for this month. So I apologize for not having like a real episode for you. But I thought what might be interesting maybe is if I sat and talked for a little bit about the things that I really like about the Cypher system, which is what Old Gods is running in, and also why those things that I like a lot make it very challenging to do an actual play with, which sounds weird, right? But, yeah, basically that's what this episode's going to be. So if you don't want to hear me talk about, you know, game design, and I don't think there will be any spoilers for the show here, but might talk about sort of the meta of implementing a narrative using game systems. If that kind of thing doesn't sound like what you want to hear, then we will be back next month, and we will have more game for you. If that is a thing that you like, consider this your episode where you're going to get a bunch of it, because I know we try and cut out as much sort of rules and table talk from the actual episodes as possible, although I know some of it sneaks in. So just consider this the very long version of that. But I hope you stick around. For those of you who don't know, Monte Cook Games has been around for a while in one way, shape, or form. Monte Cook, of course, very well known for doing writing for Dungeons & Dragons. I remember his stuff back in 3.5 D&D, which is where I started. And I have nothing but love for everything that Monte Cook and his team put out. Which sounds like really ominous, but... And it is. but not quite... scarily, I guess. With the Cypher system, I had not really read through the Cypher system before the Old Gods game came out, although I remember a very long time ago, there was a, if you want to get into the Cypher system, here's a Numenera player's guide for Dungeons & Dragons 5th edition. Numenera, of course, being the, like, first default setting that Monte Cook had made, which is really cool. It sets up everything that you need to know, things like the ciphers, the titular ciphers of the Cypher system. It's got all this cool sci-fi stuff, and I was in love with it. And so when the Old Gods game got announced, I was really hyped for it. I'm a big fan of the Old Gods of Appalachia show. I've been to a bunch of live shows. I count myself lucky enough to count Steve and Cam as friends of mine. They've been very kind to me. It's one of the reasons why I wanted to do this, of course. But what I have found is that in trying to run this actual play, to produce a show like one might expect from listening to the Old Gods of Appalachia podcast, it is difficult, if not impossible. And that's okay, right? Because, like, if you just wanted more Old Gods of Appalachia, you'd just go listen to Old Gods of Appalachia or, you know, write fan fiction, I guess. And I guess, in a way, actual plays are fan fiction of a kind. But basically, to tell you why I feel like this, I need to explain some mechanics in the system. If you're very familiar with this, I'm sorry for the re-explanation. If you, like me, had never touched the Cypher system before this, this might come as a little bit of a surprise to you, but I wanted to go through it. Because basically, the Cypher system finds itself in a midway point between what you might expect out of Dungeons & Dragons and what you might expect out of more rules-light mystery games, like Monster of the Week or Brindlewood Bay or things like that. And I know, you know, some of you thinking, oh, Monster of the Week, that's not Rules Light, but, you know, considered Dungeons and Dragons, I guess. But I guess my point here is that, so, Cypher Systems' difficulty checks on the dice are basically, you have a system of 1 through 10. If it's a difficulty 1 task, you need to roll at least a 3. If it's a difficulty 2, you need to roll at least a 6. It's whatever the number is times 3. Which, of course, then sets you up with impossible numbers, which is where their system of easing checks comes in. Basically, if you have a skill, if you're trained in something, then you can take it down by one level. And if you are specialized in something, you can take the task down by 2 difficulty levels. If you have things that help you in the environment or your friends or whatever, those can also sort of ease things down by up to 2 levels. And then you have a thing you can do called spending effort, which involves you spending points from a stat that is relevant to whatever you're doing. Each level of effort that you do also lowers the difficulty of the task by 1 tier. And tacked on to that, there is another stat tied to your pools called Edge, which reduces the cost of spending to enact effort and other abilities. And if you have enough Edge in a skill, then you can apply effort for free. And of course, there are some abilities that will also allow you to do a free level of effort when you apply effort, which makes things easier. And so all of what I'm saying here is that this game is for people who really, really love to haggle. because it is very much, it almost feels like clipping coupons, where you're like, okay, well, I know the cost is this much, but I think I can get it down to this much, and that means I can do it. Which is not a bad thing. It's so clever. But what it does is stops play, which does not matter if you are playing a home game and matters a lot if you're recording. You will notice that so far in the 2 episodes, plus the session 0, we haven't really rolled a lot. And the reason for that is because, I mean, this game is also a game that encourages you to only roll when things are narratively important, and where the presence of failure is narratively interesting, which I like a lot. But frankly, it becomes so much of a hassle to try and do all of these modifiers that it's almost not worth it, at least from an actual play standpoint, unless we want to go through and edit things a lot. And our editor, Chelsea, does a very good job, and I appreciate her quite a lot. But it becomes this weird thing of, like, what do you cut? Because you have to sit and explain the rule and figure it out. And so it's like, do you just glide past all of that? Do you just do a narrative portion of that? Do you keep it all in? I don't know. I'm pretty new to podcasts. The people I'm working with are much more experienced. They probably have a better idea than I do. But so there's that. And on the subject of this being a game for people who really love to haggle, there is also how experience points are implemented. We sort of went through experience points at the end of episode 2, at least in terms of, like, handing them out, because, you know, you should be, in an ideal world, in a game that you're playing at home, you know, you're checking in with your players at the end of every session or as they're accomplishing their goals. You're handing out experience points based on if you are meeting your character goals or if you're doing the GM intrusions, which, of course, are another thing that stops play, which means that you have to stop and be like, hey, I'm going to do something bad to you, but if you let me do it, I'll give you an experience point, and you can give someone else an experience point, And then the player can go, yeah, okay, or no, I don't want that. And in fact, I'm going to spend an experience point to make that go away. And like, again, these are so very cool. Like, I genuinely enjoy how they have made experience points into an actual sort of metagame currency that you can use to affect play, right? Because, like, it's not just, I, as a player, spend an experience point to negate the GM trying to do something cool to move the plot along. There's all sorts of little reality-bending ways that experience points can be spent outside of actually leveling up your character. You know, you can spend it to reroll any role in the game. You can spend it to temporarily learn a skill so that you are at least temporarily good at something that is narratively important. Like, all of these are great. All of these also require you to stop play. Each of them are a conversation. Each of them are a discussion between the player and the GM. And unlike other things which can stop play, like, for example, safety tools, like an X card or something like that. Like, these things, in an actual play setting, if someone, someone invokes the X card to say, hey, whoa, I'm not cool with something that has gone down right now, like, that's very easy to just stop and, you know, delete that chunk of the recording, let's try over, let's start something new. Whereas all of these, you have to do all of it. Like, you have to go through the conversation, you have to go through negotiating and haggling all of these things, and then play can continue. Which, you know, is cool for people who like listening to very rules-heavy games or really enjoy that kind of player-GM interaction. But by the same token, if it's not a thing that you like, then you're just kind of stuck. And from the from the production side of things, it then becomes that sort of balancing act of, like, how much do we keep in, how much sounds good, do we want to leave this in because we want the people listening to understand the mechanics, or should we assume that they get it, or should we assume that if they care enough they'll go look it up, or whatever. So I have bugged a couple of my friends about it, and, you know, some people really like that. Some people think that it, there's a lot of tension there, that it's okay to sort of go into bullet time narratively and do this sort of checklist of, like, how many things apply here, or, you know, what is the GM going to do? What am I going to do in response to the GM? And if that's a thing that people really like, then I hope that that's a thing that we can keep in. I know that a lot of times that kind of stuff gets cut from, I guess, podcast versions of things that are recorded live. Your critical roles, your high rollers, your things like that. Like, the version that makes it to the podcast as opposed to the live stream ends up with a lot of that stuff kind of cut. So, I don't know. I guess that's sort of where I'm at. But so, okay. So I said that I had to tell you about those mechanics to tell you why I felt like there was, like, a weird sort of narrative dissonance here, right? So, like, if you listen to Old Gods of Appalachia, it is obviously 100% narrative, right? But even in that, you know, there will still be fight scenes. There will still be other things. But for the most part, like, it's not a series that deals in combat, right? Like, you might have people doing magic. You might have people talking to each other, what one might refer to as social combat, I suppose. And you sometimes have people running away from very big monsters. But there's very little, like, big damn heroing going on. And the way that this game is set up is with the intent that you will be fighting things. You don't have to, theoretically, but, I mean, one of the character archetypes is skewed almost entirely towards combat at first level, which is the Protector. The Explorer has the second most combat abilities, and then the Sage and the Speaker both are more geared for non-combat. And, like, that's fine, right? Like, if you have two kind of combat classes and two kind of not combat classes, like, that's a very... I mean, it is a very Dungeons & Dragons look at it, I suppose. But, like, I guess it is curious that it seems like the game is set up to encourage combat, but also that you don't want to be doing that, or rather that, like, the established narrative is that you don't really want to be doing that, at least not at lower levels, right? Like, if you think about certain characters in, in the canon of Old Gods of Appalachia, you know, there are some very strong magical practitioners who will go out and ruin some people's days. likewise, you'll have... Oh, gosh. I kind of don't want to talk about the show without... because I know some people, especially people who are playing with me, have actually never listened to it. So I don't really want to spoil it for them. But if you know, you know. Like, there's some big combats, but a lot of the times people are getting away from monsters. And in that way, the whole game being set up where everything is a difficulty check, right? Like, everything's a roll of the dice in that way, rather than having, like, separate combat rules, is neat. Right, because, like, you're never changing your mentality on it. You're always like, okay, I know what I need to do. I know I need to go down the line. I know I need to find my coupons to make my abilities cost less. And then you go for it, and it's fine. But if you combine that sort of mentality along with all of the other things that take you out of combat, like granting experience points or... any bit of that bargaining, what ends up happening is what would be absolutely fine at a table somewhere, and could take an hour on our side is going to end up having to get cut down to 20 minutes so that the episode isn't 15 hours long. So, I don't know. Let me say, this is a fun learning experience for me as someone who has been GMing for... Oh, God, almost half of my life, maybe a third of my life at this point, but very little experience in the world of actual plays. And like I say, my first actual play experience was here on Project Derailed last season with Mothership. This is my first time GMing an actual play series. So it's a fun learning experience for me, especially because I don't get to just sit here and complain about things. If something's going to get done about it, I have to be the one to do it. So, I guess in that regard, all of these things that I have talked about, the sort of meta narrative of haggling and the, you know, taking things out of combat time or game time to slow down and explain the rules, all of these things are solved with really good reference materials, and I, thankfully for me, I backed the Old Gods of Appalachia Kickstarter. I've got a nice, fancy DM screen, which I can look at, and there is a digital version, so I can send it to people, and I know that they can look at it, but I think what I will probably end up doing is making a quick reference that is more suited to what I'm doing. And then, I don't know, maybe I'll put that up on the Project Derailed site if they'll let me do it, and then you guys can download it. And then if you want to play through this game and you want to have a handy-dandy quick reference sheet, then you'll have one. But anyway, I appreciate you listening to me ramble if you've made it this far. Like I say, we will be back in May. We're actually having a recording session this week, so hopefully we will have another thing ready to go by the time the May date comes around, then we should be right back into it. So, final thoughts. I think the Old Gods of Appalachia game is extremely well written. I think there's a lot of really cool things, which I think are also present in Baseline Cypher System. I think they are really cool, and I think that adapting them to a medium which requires much more narrative flow than your average Friday night RPG session is difficult, and it's one that I'm trying to navigate, but I am just one person, and I am not the only person who is working on this, of course. I'm working with a bunch of really talented people, and frankly, in my opinion, they are putting in a whole lot of work, so it's probably about time I did the same. So, like I say, if you're out there and you really enjoy certain mechanics, if you think the tension is heightened by stopping play to talk about things and negotiate things and whatever, let me know. Just tell us. You can come to our Discord, the Project Derailed Discord, which I'll make sure there's a link to that in the description for this. But like, come say hi. We're all in there, and while we don't give out spoilers, we're certainly happy to talk about stuff. So you can talk to all of us there. Otherwise, if you want to talk to us in real life, I know that I will be at RavenCon, which, if you're listening to this, should be this weekend. If you're listening to this when this goes up, that is. I will be there running some games, so if you find me, you can come say hi. I know I, at the very least, will also be at the Old Gods of Appalachia live show, which will be happening in a month or two? Something like that. So, you know, if you end up in Richmond, I'll be there. The rest of us, or actually most of us, I should say, will be at Gen Con later this year, although I don't know if we will have any sort of official presence there or not, but I do know that I will be running some games there, so that's neat. And of course, Nick and Fiona and Chelsea and, gosh, a whole bunch of people who are not on this season. but yeah, we'll be around. Keep an eye out. Like I say, come to the Discord. Keep an eye out on Twitter and all of our various socials, and we will let you know where we will be. But until then, we will be right here in your podcast feed, just waiting for you to come back and say hi. See you soon.
Why do you want to be a hero?
Yeah, she's gonna sort of like drop down out of the sky and try to kick him, like, you know, square in the chest.
Look, I don't know what you're fucking trying to do here, but I don't make deals with enemies who put grenades in a box like they're the $5 movie bin.
Release mystery, or you all will be the ones that are extinct.
I don't know if I can have an honest conversation with Royale as a corgi.
You're right, it's fucking not funny.
I mean, literally no one would find this funny.
Remix, use the dragon filter, that would make it funny.
It's just like man standing emoji.
Just T-posing in the corner.
Who is your contact?
Benchmark.
Who?
Hey, I just need BuzzNest for like 1 minute, and then you guys can go back to whatever you were doing.
Check out Season 2 of Cape Chronicles starting Wednesday, October 5th, every first and third Wednesday, wherever you get your podcasts.
File folders contain important information.
Hey, I'm Saker.
And I'm Evan.
And our podcast is It's All Been Done, a Bare Naked Ladies podcast. Hey, what's that podcast about, Ev?
So, do you know of a band called Bare Naked Ladies?
1 week.
Yeah, that's one of them.
Okay, all right, cool. Yeah, I know of them.
Do you ever want to learn more about them? Or...
Absolutely not.
Okay, well, then this is the podcast for you, because we teach you nothing with various guests.
Yeah, like Matt Besser. Holy shit.
Climbed in a second story window and partied in this house where we didn't know at all the people. That was crazy.
Holy fuck, Mike Mitchell.
Well, I don't know how much you guys really do love Bare Naked Ladies.
Justin McElroy. Grab your tongue, and I want you to say Our born tongue. On a pirate ship.
Born on a pirate ship.
You were born on a pile of shit, and many more. So check it out. But also, if you don't like Bare Naked Ladies, we talk about them probably like a third of the time. So, yes. That's every Tuesday, wherever fine podcasts are sold.
We could make a board game about it.
Back on Toril, I was a nobody. I got teleported out here, and here I'm something. I'm somebody.
The Voidfarer begins maneuvering towards this 200-meter-long space whale.
To handle one of these, you need grit. Is that something you have?
I'm a tiny little guy. Of course I got grit.
If you tried anything, it would end very poorly for you.
This Alithid dreadnought warps away, accelerating the spell jamming speed as quickly as they arrive.
Who the fuck?
What am I trying to say here, Ravnus?
That we're crew.
I like that. We're crew.
That is a natural one.
You send yourself sailing out the side of the ship, untethered.
Oh.
I'm putting a python into the ground, I'm wrapping my rope around it, and I'm jumping into the gravity well.
No.
A gnome, a halfling, and a half-orc walk into a bar. I forget the middle part, but the punchline is feathers everywhere, and that's not my peanut butter. I cast Tasha's Hideous Laughter.
Climb aboard for Tales of the Voidfarer, wherever you listen to podcasts.
Oh, my consequences have actions. Wait, other way around.
ProjectDerailed.com.